Thank you, choir. Thank you, Brother Joe. Weren't you blessed today? And today we are blessed by the presence of our men and women of the United States military. And today we honor them with this message, and we honor them for defending America. And today I want to share a message with you called They Stood for Truth. And that's out of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. I think about courageous Americans who have stood for truth through the years. None more courageously than Theodore Roosevelt III. His dad was president of the United States. And when D-Day was about to take place, he urged his commanding officer to allow him to land in the first wave. No other general would land in the first wave, but he made an argument that the troops at Utah Beach would need him to calm their nerves, to direct the attack. And so reluctantly, his commanding officer allowed him to be in that first wave. He was a man that walked with a cane because he had heart trouble and he had arthritis. He carried his pistol by his side. And as his landing craft landed that day, they landed a mile away from the target. And he made his famous statement that he would start the war right here. He began to direct the attack with bombs exploding around him and under heavy enemy fire. He told stories about his dad. He quoted poetry. He used humor to calm the nerves of the men who were coming ashore. They took their positions. They knocked out the German positions. And they moved inland in that first and second and following waves. And later on, when General Omar Bradley was asked what was the most courageous act he had ever seen in battle, he said he had never seen a more courageous act than he saw from Theodore Roosevelt III at Utah Beach. But this was a man who just was not a warrior. He was a man who stood for truth. And Theodore Roosevelt III penned these historic words when he said, "Not only in our own land, but throughout the world, it is the duty of a civilized power scrupulously to respect the rights of all weaker civilized powers. And so it is the duty of them to put down savagery and barbarism. Throughout history, the advance of civilization has been incalculable as a benefit to mankind. And those through whom it has advanced deserve the highest honor. All honor to the missionary. All honor to the soldier who now, even in our own day, has done so much to bring light into the world's dark places." And so today, with these inspiring words, men and women of the United States military, you have the honor and the gratitude of this church, Trinity Baptist Church. And we thank you for standing for truth. And you see, as Christians, we take inspiration from the Word of God. We take inspiration from these godly warriors around us that we have been called to stand for truth. Because can I remind you that if we make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we make a decision to commit our lives to Him and stand for Him, we are on a collision course with the devil. And the Bible gives us good news. The Bible gives us good news in Ephesians 6 that allows us to move from being a victim to being a victor when we understand that God has given us resources. God has given us His armor to put on so that we, as the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to truth, standing for truth, can win in this world that we live in. So today, we will look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, how that we as believers can stand for truth in a world that's confused and in a world that's lost its way. And the first thing I want you to see, if we as believers are going to stand for truth, we need to stand for the truth of sound doctrine. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Standing firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth," the Bible says. Now, if we're going to stand for the truth of doctrine, we have to make a commitment to avoid worldly pragmatism. You see, the Bible says, standing firm. We live in a world that's constantly going to encourage us to redraw the line, constantly urge us to come up with new morals that are not based on the Word of God. We live in a world that's constantly going to encourage us to compromise our beliefs and what God says is morally right and morally wrong. What God says is the way to heaven, the truth we have in Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us here in Ephesians 6:14 that we are supposed to stand firm. This is a command. It's in the imperative mood. And it's as if the Apostle Paul is a general commanding us as believers who are on the front lines to stand strong, to stand firm. I love the meaning of this word. It's a metaphor in the Greek language. And it has the idea of a group of soldiers who are on the battlefield, who have the full force of the enemy being thrown against them. And yet, this group of soldiers are holding the line. They're standing in position. They will not be moved. That's the idea here of standing firm. It's a military metaphor. And you see, God has called us as believers to look at the truth and doctrine of the Word of God, to look at the morals of the Word of God, to understand what true salvation is all about, to understand that Jesus Christ is God, equal to the Father, come in human flesh, and by faith we trust Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible wants us to understand that we're to draw a line in the sand on what true doctrine is, on what the true morals of the Bible are, and we are to take our positions and hold our positions even under the withering attack of the world and not to be moved. All of us have been disturbed this week by the decision of the Supreme Court. But can I tell you that we as believers across our Southern Baptist Convention, joining hands with many other believers, are taking our stand on the Word of God. And when we were at the Southern Baptist Convention in Columbus, Ohio, every single living president, virtually everyone of the Southern Baptist Convention, signed a document and addressed the entire convention with this document. Every president who were a part of what we call the conservative resurgence. When we as Southern Baptists decided that we would remove every liberal, every individual that did not believe the Bible, every individual that did not stand for absolute truth in the Scripture, we would remove them from every seminary, every board, and every agency. And all of those presidents stood together and they issued this proclamation to the Southern Baptist Convention. As Southern Baptist Christians, we are committed to biblical faith and ethics. As a result, this body of believers stands on the authority of Scripture and God's truth as central to our lives. What the Bible says about marriage is clear, definitive, and unchanging. We affirm the biblical, natural idea of marriage as the uniting of one man and one woman and the covenant commitment for a lifetime. The Scripture teaching on marriage is not negotiable. We stake our lives upon the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Consequently, we will not accept nor adhere to any legal redefinition of marriage issued by any political or judicial body, including the United States Supreme Court. We will not recognize same-sex marriages, and our churches will not host same-sex ceremonies and will not perform such ceremonies. While we affirm our love for all people, including those who are struggling with same-sex attraction, we cannot and will not affirm the moral acceptability of homosexual behavior or any behavior that deviates from God's design for marriage. We also believe in religious freedom, and we believe that religious freedom is at stake within these critical issues, that our first duty is to love and obey God and not to obey man. Therefore, we strongly encourage all Southern Baptist pastors, leaders, educators, and churches to openly reject any mandated legal definition of marriage and to use their influence to affirm God's design for life and relationships. As the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination, with over 16 million members, we stake our very lives and future on the truths of God's Word. We also join together to support those who stand for natural marriage in the corporate world, the marketplace, education, entertainment, media, and elsewhere with our prayers, influence, and resources. You see, this is the stand that we are taking as Southern Baptists. After the Supreme Court handed down their decision 5-4, Russell Moore, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention Ethics and Liberty Commission, who also was a frequent speaker at our convention this year, shared these words. It is improper for the Supreme Court to redefine an institution that it did not invent in the first place. I believe this action of finding some illusory 14th Amendment right to same-sex marriage will have wide-ranging and perilous consequences for the stability of families and for the freedom of religion. Additionally, today's decision reminds us of the importance of electing a president who knows how to appoint jurists rather than those who would be legislators to the bench. Despite this ruling, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand fast. We will not capitulate on this issue because we cannot. To minimize or ignore a Christian sexual ethic is to abandon the message Jesus handed down to us. And we have no authority to do this. At the same time, now is not the time for outrage or panic. Marriage is resilient. God created it to be so. Marriage in the minds of the public may change, but marriage as a reality created by God won't change at all. The church must now articulate and embody a Christian vision of marriage and work to rebuild the culture of marriage in our nation. Let me share with you, as pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, a message for Chief Justice Kennedy, who made the statement that he was relying on the Constitution as his basis, particularly the 14th Amendment, for redefining marriage in our country. But may I remind Chief Justice Kennedy that James Madison, who was the primary author of our Constitution, said these words: "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." And I would remind Chief Justice Kennedy that he has perverted the minds and the thoughts and the intents of our forefathers. They wholly believed, as George Washington said, that this nation and this Constitution was made for a holy, moral people who base their morals on the Word of God. And so today, I call this church to echo the Macedonian call that we might call the community, the state, and the nation to go back to the Bible, to return to the founding principles of faith and moral sanity perpetrated by our founding fathers, and pray that God will use our influence far and wide as we speak the truth in love. But we are not ashamed to speak the truth as we share it in love with those around us, because we are the ones that love America. We are the ones that care about these courageous men and women in uniform who have courageously fought on the front lines for the America that our founding fathers envisioned and shed their blood for also. You see, the Bible says that if we're going to stand for truth, we have to stand on the truth of doctrine. And we have to avoid worldly pragmatism that constantly tries to redraw the line of morality and doctrinal truth. We have to avoid that. And we have to remember that just as Paul and his culture of that day was being pressed by imperial Rome and all of its pomp and circumstance and splendor and power, and how he stood strong on the front lines of morality, spirituality, and sound doctrine, we can do no less in our day and in our age. But also, if we're going to stand on the truth of doctrine, we not only avoid worldly pragmatism as we stand for godly spiritual principles and truth and doctrine, but also we need to embrace godly truth. Look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 again. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. That word stand firm is really in the middle voice. And what that means is you need to make a decision yourself to stand firm for the truth. That word truth there is an interesting word. It can mean the content of truth, the content of doctrine, and we've dealt with that. But also that word truth has another meaning. It also means for the sincerity, for the lack of hypocrisy in truth. In other words, the Bible's saying, not only do we hold the truth, but we need the truth to take hold of us. We can't be lethargic about the truth. We can't be apathetic about the truth. You see, this word truth here has the idea of truth held with passion, truth held with conviction, truth held with our entire being. It possesses us. It obsesses us. We believe in this truth in such a great way. We act on this truth to the point where we are ready to serve. In fact, when we look at the scripture, it says, standing firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. A Roman soldier would wear a belt. And this is referring to the armor of the Roman soldier and how he would take a leather belt and how he would attach it as part of his armor. And you see, this attachment of the leather belt was very important, because what the Roman soldier would do is, when it was time for battle, he would take his tunic, and back in that day, a tunic was like a robe. It was similar to a Scottish Celt that Brother John knows so much about. But what they would do is they would take that robe. It was longer and it was more flowing. And they would take the four corners of this robe as a soldier and they would tuck it into their belt. And it meant that they were ready to serve. Ready to serve their country. Ready to serve their emperor. And so they were ready to do their duty. And you see, the Word of God says that we need to be passionate about the truth of God's Word. That's the meaning of that word truth. To the point where we are ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ready to do our duty. And God has a great destiny for you. God has a great purpose for you. That's the theme of the book of Ephesians. That from the foundation of the world, God has purposed you for a great work. And as we all discover our service, as we are all ready to do God's bidding, in whatever place of service that God puts us, then suddenly we enter the battle and we are the torchbearers for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ that possesses us, that obsesses us. No longer are we lethargic. No longer are we indifferent. No longer do we place the load on others to carry the blood-stained banner of the cross. We step into the battle ourselves because truth has suddenly been allowed through the Lordship of Jesus Christ to possess us and obsess us. And how we draw inspiration from these men and women of the military that are here today. I'm reminded of the courageous story of the soldier Bernie Fisher. All of our Air Force men and women and many of our other military, they know the story well. Bernie Fisher was an A-1 pilot during the Vietnam War. And he and his other A-1 pilots were called to an airfield that was under heavy attack by the Viet Cong. And it was a dangerous situation, and there were special forces on the ground, and they were strafing the countryside, trying to protect these special forces who were entrenched. And at the height of the battle, Major Jump Myers was shot down, and he crash-landed on that airfield. And the Viet Cong were 200 yards away from him. And Major Bernie Fisher, who later said that it was nothing more than a suicide mission on his part. But he said he could not leave his colleague. He could not leave his friend there to be murdered by the Viet Cong. And so he took his A-1 and he landed it on that airfield that was strewn with all kinds of wreckage and potholes from the bombs that had exploded. And he maneuvered his way through all the wreckage and all the potholes, and he pulled up next to Jump Myers, and he reached his hand out and he pulled him into his cockpit, and he began to take off. And at that moment, Bernie Fisher said that Jump Myers asked him for a cigarette. He said, "You're out of luck. I don't smoke." He didn't even drink. And he was a man who believed in God and country, and off he went with his precious cargo. I want to tell you, it was a man, when you read his memoirs, When you read his autobiography, in fact, Beyond the Call of Duty, the story of an American hero in Vietnam, you will read about a man who believed in duty, God, and country. And he believed that this country was worth his ultimate service. And can I tell you, our commanding general, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he calls us to duty, when he calls us to service, when he asks us to be stirred from our lethargy, stirred from our indifference, stirred from our passionless heart toward the events around us, I will tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ as our commander and general is worthy of our service. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to stand on the truth of doctrine in this day and age, on the front lines, under fire, yes. But on the front lines, we are to stand entrenched on the truth, and we cannot give up one inch of ground to the devil. But also, I want you to see, if we're going to stand for truth, we need to have an army of men and women possessing an attitude of commitment. Look with me again at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. And I want you to look and notice a commitment to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Now, back in this day, when a Roman soldier was called to battle, he would typically have loosened his belt and was in a relaxed state. But you see, when his commanding general showed up on the scene, he would suddenly tighten that belt. He would suddenly take the four corners of that tunic and he would tuck it in. And not only was he ready to serve emperor and country, but he was also ready to obey, down to the smallest detail, the orders of his commanding general. And can I share with each and every one of you today that one of the greatest opportunities we have to give the devil his due in our day is when we are shining examples of men and women who are committed to this book. Not just believing this book, but acting on this book, living this book down to the smallest detail, so that we can be a shining beacon, a city set upon a hill, so that people can look at our lives and say, your Christianity is for real. Your Christianity can be lived out in a dark and a crooked and a perverse generation. God wants all of us to be that shining beacon, that shining light to the world around us of total, complete, and absolute obedience to the Word of God. But also, I want you to see, not only is it a commitment to obedience, but a commitment to the resources we have from God. Look in verse 6 and 14 again. Standing firm, having girded your loins with truth. Now, you have to understand that when a Roman soldier girded his loins, girded his waist with a belt, that it was typically made of leather. It was a large belt. And it fit around his waist, and then there was another strap that went over his shoulder. On this belt were all of his weapons. And on that repertoire of weapons, you would find an array of all kinds of things. There was a quiver that held all of his arrows, so that when he pulled out his bow, he could fire those arrows at the enemy. Also on his belt was a sword. You could find on his belt an amount of food and water as a resource when he was in the intense longevity of battle. When the battle would go for long periods of time, he could refresh himself with water and with food and enter the battle ready to fight again. You see, the Roman soldier had all kinds of resources on his belt. And the Bible says that we as Christians are to put on the belt of truth. We're to be filled with the Word of God. We're to know the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, study the Word of God, read the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, we appropriate all the resources that God has given us and made available to us to win in this life. No longer being a victim, but being a victor through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. You begin in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and it's all about all the wonderful resources you have as a believer. You think about it in Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says you're blessed with all spiritual riches in heavenly places. You go to Ephesians 1 a little bit further, and you see how that God has purposed for you a great purpose in this life. Then you read about the great resurrection power that lives inside of you, that gives you victory, that causes you to triumph in every situation. Then the Bible in Ephesians 1 ends with a crescendo where it talks about how you've been raised with Christ in heavenly places. And every circumstance and every problem and every challenge is underneath your feet. And you are in a position of authority. The Bible talks about how you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and your inner man, you know the depth and width and breadth of the love of God in your heart, and you share that with courage and boldness to all around you. The Bible talks about your authority in prayer, how that when you pray, you will see God do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And you see, all of these are your resources in Christ. And when you know the truth of the Word of God, and you're possessed with passion of the truth of the Word of God, then you begin to appropriate all the wonderful riches and resources that you have through Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says we need a commitment to obedience, but also we need a commitment to begin to appropriate all these wonderful resources that we have through Jesus Christ. But lastly, I want you to see that the Word of God tells us if we are going to stand for truth, we need to be, men and women, receiving strengthening truth day by day. Why? Why do you need to receive God's strengthening truth? I mean, why is it so critical? Why is it so necessary? Why are you in such a battle today that you desperately, every day, need to go to this book and receive God's strengthening word? Understand it. Let it possess you. Let it take hold of you. Why is that so critical? Well, the Bible tells us we need to hold this truth in persecution. Christians today, if they stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in a position to be persecuted. In fact, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian and I mean, nobody ever bothers me. Well, can I tell you, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you stand for the truth, there will be those who will persecute you. Now, back in this day, Roman soldiers were certainly not ignorant of persecution. In fact, there were Roman soldiers around the world in the day of Paul who suffered horrible persecution. And all they were trying to do were guard innocent people and execute great building projects that would help the populace. And certainly they could be guilty of atrocities. I'm not trying to defend everything the Roman army ever did. But there were places where they were honestly trying to do good works. And yet they would come under tremendous persecution from those who were in a power struggle in the population. You go to England in AD 66 in the time of Paul. And there was Queen Boudica. And Queen Boudica became jealous and became involved in a power struggle. So she mobilized 30,000 people and they marched to London and killed tens of thousands of innocent people and slaughtered 2,000 Roman soldiers. But you see, in Roman warfare, the Roman soldier wore his belt of truth. And the belt of truth was designed to protect 5 critical vertebrates in the Roman soldier's back. Because enemy armies knew that if they could take out a Roman soldier's back, that they would immobilize him from battle. So they wore the belt of truth as protection on his armor. And you see, God has given you the truth of the Word of God. That when you stand under withering persecution, it could be from a family member. It could be from a neighbor. It could be from a, quote, friend. It could be from somebody who claims to be a member of the body of Christ, but is living in a carnal state as a Christian. But I will tell you, when you put on the belt of truth, it gives you the strength, the power, the authority through the resurrection power of Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, to win over persecution. But also the Bible tells us, not only do we receive the strengthening truth to win over persecution, but also we receive the strengthening truth to win over tribulation. Look with me in 6:14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the Bible here is clearly discovering truth about a Roman soldier. It's discussing truth about a man that's in the military in Rome. Now, back in this day, it's common knowledge of historians that when Paul described this Roman soldier, he was talking about a Roman soldier who had a difficult life. He had a harsh life. The Bible even refers to that. When Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to endure hardness, to endure difficulty as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you were a Roman soldier, you had to deal with dangerous weather. You had to deal with difficult terrain. You had to deal with deprivation. You had to deal with long, grueling marches. You had to deal with attacks from sometimes an unseen enemy. And it was grueling, it was challenging to be a Roman soldier. The Bible clearly even describes that there was tribulation for those soldiers. And as a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, living in this world that we live in, a fallen world that's full of sin, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have difficulty. I'm not going to play games with you. I'm not going to share with you that you come to Jesus and life's going to be easy and life's always going to be wonderful and everything's going to always go your way. The Bible doesn't teach that. It tells you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But what I will tell you is that God's blessings, God's power, God's victories, God's joys that fill your heart when you endure difficulty and tribulation far outweigh any challenge or difficulty or hardship that you go through. Paul described all the difficulties that he went through. Shipwrecks. Starvation. Beatings. On and on the list went. And yet Paul said that the difficulties of this present life cannot even compare to the eternal weight of glory and blessings that God offered to him. And so you see, the Lord has so many joys and blessings for us that far outweigh the trials and tribulations of this world. In fact, if you study the belt of a Roman soldier, there was a place on that belt to place their emblems. And they received an emblem every time they won a victory. They received an emblem every time the army prevailed. And can I tell you today that when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ on the front lines of truth, when you further the cause of Christ, when you take enemy territory, when you make a difference in this society and cut against the carnal thoughts and ideas of this world, can I let you know that you have the blessings and the emblems of victory on your spiritual belt of truth? In fact, the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, blessed is the man that endures tribulation, for he shall receive the crown of life. The Bible says there are innumerable blessings for you when you stand strong on the front lines of truth, defending your children, defending your grandchildren's future, defending the actual survival of this nation as a nation founded upon God and godly principles, as Brother Bill shared in his prayer. And aren't you thrilled today that for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what you struggle with, no matter what sin is your besetting sin, the Bible says there are great resources in heaven. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare as Christians are not carnal, but they are spiritual to the tearing down of strongholds. And I don't know what stronghold is in your life today, what stronghold of sin. But can I tell you that through the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus shed His blood so that every sin could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. Can I tell you that through the power of the cross today, you can be liberated, you can be set free from whatever sin and stronghold in your life. And it's not an earthly weapon that we offer you, but it's a spiritual weapon of the blood of Jesus Christ that will cleanse you from all sin. And today we invite you to a living Lord Jesus. We invite you to come to Him. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son. He gave Jesus on the cross. That if you believe in Him today, if you trust Him with your whole heart to the point where you let Him have your entire life, you make Him your boss and your King and Lord, the Bible says, whosoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. Will you come to King Jesus today? Will you repent of your sin and choose against your old lifestyle? Choose against your thoughts that you can work your way to heaven, for it's not by works, the Bible says. And come to Jesus and put your faith in Christ and Christ alone to take you to heaven today. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, today, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want my life to be changed. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step out and to come to Jesus. you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I need to join this church. This is a church on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a church that's here to exalt the Savior, to equip the saints, and to evangelize the lost. And we love the world, but we stand for truth. And we will speak the truth in courage and in love. You say, Pastor, that's the church I want to be a part of. We want to invite you to come today. Or maybe you're here and you just say, Pastor, I have to tell you, I've been on the fence. I've had no passion. I've been lethargic. I've been indifferent. I haven't been involved in the front lines. But it's time for me to get off the fence. It's time for me to get in the battle. It's time for me to stop standing back in indifference and watch the believers in the body of Christ stand and take charge in this spiritual battle that we're in. I need to join them. I need to rise up and be a part of this great move of the Holy Spirit in our land today. You need to come and maybe pray at this altar today as a believer. Father, today we are asking Jesus to have His way in every life. Lord, help those who need to make a spiritual decision for You. God, as I look across the sanctuary, Father, I see the struggle in the faces of men and women. Oh God, have Your way in their life. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.